Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and today we want to talk about the execution of two police officers in New York City by those who have bought into the incitement of U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder and Barack Obama, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, and others. So we will discuss that and the reaction of the police in New York City, which is understandable and appropriate. Also, we want to talk about the latest study, horrific study, on the effect of pornography turning young men away from marriage. It turns out that young men by the millions are deciding not to get married or to put off marriage until very late in life. And one reason has been documented, that sexual fulfillment traditionally has been a reason to motivate young men to find a wife, to get married. And now millions of young men are finding cheap gratification on the internet. And as a result, there are now millions of young women who will not be able to find a husband as they would have been able to. And this is just absolutely devastating to our society and to these young women and to the young men. And when a young man finally gets tired of the internet and would rather have an actual woman, a real woman to hold, when that happens, he's already so broken after years of a severe addiction to pornography, that he is damaged goods, but still redeemable. But a woman will have to now work extra hard just to have a chance at a decent relationship with this man who's been damaged by internet pornography. And over the years, focus on the family has been wrong. Morality and media has been wrong. The goal is not to regulate pornography, just like they want to regulate child killing and regulate homosexuality. The goal is to recriminalize pornography, and that it should be a crime. It is a crime, and it should be recognized as a crime to traffic in human sexuality. We also want to talk about Eric Holder again, mentioning that the Civil Rights Act must apply also to cross-dressing men, right? Men who want access to the ladies' room, so they put on a skirt. And then an amazing story from back east this week, a 14-year-old boy fatally shot and killed, protected his grandmother, shot and killed an intruder, someone trying to break into their home. The 14-year-old boy, his own father, had been murdered 6 years ago. And after that, his grandfather took him and his brother to the shooting range to teach them how to defend themselves. And so a 22-year-old man and his 18-year-old brother drove up to this house, and the 18-year-old went around back to break in through a back window. And the 14-year-old boy grabbed his grandparents' gun and said, "Get out of here, get out of here," three times, according to him and the grandmother. They called 911 immediately after the shooting and said, "Get out of here, get away, get away." And the 18-year-old just kept, in a reckless manner, recklessness like we've seen in the news headlines repeatedly recently, reckless with your own life and with the life of others. And he just continued to try to break into the house. And the 14-year-old boy shot and killed the would-be burglar. And the police have looked at it and said no charges to be filed. This was done in self-defense. So these are some of the things we want to talk about. Also, and this is big, Israel has been debating in their Knesset, debating a law on the nature of the state of Israel. And it reminds me of a discussion I had with the, who was he? He was the minister of tourism back from Israel back in maybe 1997, when Benjamin Netanyahu had been in the U.S. and he made a stop at the NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, which I attended a number of times. And a conservative Israeli politician who has political ambition will often meet with will speak to groups of American religious broadcasters because there's so much support for Israel among conservative Christians. And so that's what brought Netanyahu to speak to a group at the NRB. And I would have loved to talk to him, of course, but and this is before he was prime minister, but he had with him the minister of tourism, because Christian televangelists and other Christian groups have brought, what, over a million people as tourists to Israel in support of Israel and for their own benefits. And I've led three tours to Israel, a Bible tour to Turkey, to Greece. We've just had wonderful times, and much of that is available for people to enjoy on DVD, on just the studies we've done showing the truth of the Bible. So on location there. So at any rate, I had the opportunity to talk with the Minister of Tourism, because Benjamin Netanyahu, too many people trying to talk to him. And I had a very interesting conversation. It lasted at most 4 minutes or so. But it has come back now, 17 years later. The topic is now in the news, and it was democracy. And I said, if I remember the guy's name, it was Moses, only Moishi. How do you say that today? And Moishi? And Netanyahu was very well known, but a lesser figure. He became well known when he was in the special forces in Israel and helped on a successful raid. There was an airliner that had been hijacked, and he successfully helped to rescue the passengers. In fact, the guy who led that raid was a future prime minister, Ehud Barak, led the raid that Benjamin Netanyahu was on. So the minister of tourism, I asked him about democracy and why it was that Israel was so supportive of democracy, because wasn't it obvious that by supporting democracy, they were actually giving the recipe for the destruction of the Jewish state? Because Palestinian citizens within Israel would most likely have more children than Jews, who are now killing their own children in abortion clinics in Israel, as is done throughout Europe. And of course, the Muslim population is on course to overtake European populations because the Europeans are killing their children. And a similar demographic challenge happening here in this country, not as severe though, but similar, happening in Russia, very severe, and in countries around the world where the people who kill their children then could be overtaken population-wise by the people who don't. And it just so happens that Muslims are not killing their children, not in rates anywhere near the rates of Europeans and Americans and Israelis and Russians and others. So at any rate, I asked him, didn't he think that it was leading to their own destruction as a Jewish state to support democracy? Because eventually the Palestinians, while they could not defeat Israel militarily, they could just eventually vote the destruction of the Israeli state. And he said, you know, I've thought about these things, but no one has ever said it so bluntly to me. I said, well, yeah, on our Christian talk show, we've been on the air since 1991. We are supportive of Israel and their right to exist and defend themselves against terrorists, murderers. But we do not blindly support democracy because the concept of majority rule is a concept that will give control to people who want to steal and fornicate and lie and kill the innocent. Jesus said the majority are evil. The majority are evil. And government is designed in significant part to protect the rights of the individual and the rights of the minority against the will of the majority. If government is designed for majority rule, then it is not well designed to protect the rights of the minority. I mean, systematically, it is ill-designed if there is a democratic influence in the function of government, like we have here in America. And so to his credit, I think, he recognized the significance of that concern and was able to think on his feet and say, you know, that's a very good point. And it's just that people don't just say it bluntly. Well, now people are saying it bluntly. It took 17 years, but Israel's parliament was dissolved earlier this month, in part over legislation proposed by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to try to defend the Jewish state. And so, you know, they're looking for creative ways of doing that. And for them to say, well, democracy is a failed experiment, we need to do away with democracy, they don't have either the wisdom or the courage to say that. So they're looking at other creative solutions, like letting Jews all over the world be citizens of Israel, so that Palestinians who live physically within the country, they're citizens too, but they'd be outnumbered by the Jews who live all over the world. So that's one way to go about it. But if you notice, the conservatives who have, you know, the conservative Christians who will defend our form of government, and they'll also say, I think somewhat meaninglessly, that, well, we're a republic. Well, we're a representative republic, which means that if you want to kill children, then you vote for a politician who will pass a law that says you can kill children, or vote for a politician who will nominate a judge or confirm a judge who says you can kill children. In a raw democracy, the people just vote themselves to kill children, abortion, or infanticide. And in a representative republic, it's just a one step slower. It's more bureaucratic red tape. You have to first vote for Barack Obama, and he'll help you have the judges and pass the laws that'll let you kill children. So representative republic and a democracy are kissing cousins. They're close enough for government work. So at any rate, and by the way, our phone number here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. That number could be used to help out Bob and Yurt Live. It's near the end of the year, and especially Denver Bible Church, by the way, trying to purchase a property. Denver Bible Church could really use a year-end financial gift. And Bob and Yurt Live is always in need. But if you're able to, it'd be wonderful to call 1-800-8-N-YURT, 1-800-836-9278 to make a donation. So at any rate, we are now here in 2014, almost 15, and what was obvious to those of us, the staff and crew of Bob and Yurt Live, obvious to us in the 90s, because democracy is not a good thing, but a bad thing, in Israel being in such a precarious situation as a state, surrounded by enemies who would like to destroy them, it's not a good mix. It's not a good mix for any country, but especially for Israel, the real-world problems from democracy will surface sooner rather than later. And so here we are, 17 years later or so, and you've got front-page stories on the New York Times, and you've got the Knesset in Israel ending in an unscheduled way because they've got this problem that they're trying to address, that the Palestinians could simply vote the destruction of the Israeli state soon enough. So what do you do about that? And here at Bob and Yurt Live, we prefer not to put all our eggs in the basket of some temporary solution or some opportunistic strategy. But we prefer to talk about the long-term solutions and the valid biblical principles that should inform us on any given issue. And so regarding government, we should look to the scriptures to see what principles of governance does God fill the scriptures with. And we very quickly find out that a representative republic, a democracy, these are not forms of government that God has anything good to say about. Wherever there is a biblical passage, a teaching, or a historical account that bears on those topics, it's always in a negative way. You've got the representatives. We have the House of Representatives. Israel, they had their representatives. How many did they have? 250 representatives came to meet with Moses and Aaron. And they didn't like the way the government was being run. And they were the representatives of the people. It says explicitly in the Bible, they were the representatives. And so Moses said, well, we're going to ask God to select between you guys and us. So will you guys stand over there, and Aaron and I will stand here. So I said, all right. So Korah and his 250 representatives of the people, they stood over there. And Moses said, could you guys back up just a little bit, back up a little bit? They backed up a little bit. And then God answered and opened up the earth and sucked down the House of Representatives alive into hell. It was the last time there was such decisive government action on a democratic movement. Such decisive judgmental action on a democratic movement. But it's right there in the Bible. So today they're wrestling with what to do because of the democratic nature of the state of Israel. They are looking at, they could see it. You know, if you're not there yet, but you can see it, and they say, well, this isn't hell, but you can see it from here. Well, they can see the end of the state of Israel without a rocket launched, without a shot fired, without a suicide bomber detonating himself. They could see the destruction of the state of Israel from within by their own law, which is very similar to what could happen to here in America. So now to New York City and Mayor Bill de Blasio and Barack Obama and Eric Holder and the media generally, all of whom incited violence, and now they have blood on their hands. They incited riots. They incited violence against the police generally for blaming the problem of violent black deaths on the police instead of blaming the black community for slaughtering itself. It's real easy for the black community and for those who exploit them for political gain to blame others for its own self-destruction. The latest murderer first killed his girlfriend, right? Was that in Philadelphia? Then executed two police officers because he tweeted and all before he did this. He said, they kill one of ours, we kill two of theirs. And he tweeted for Michael Brown and whatever else. Michael Brown, whose cause of death was suicide by cop, with rage and utter recklessness. Suicide by cop. And then the cops get blamed. So this murderer first killed his girlfriend. Was she black? I don't know. The media hasn't said. It was Rudy Giuliani remembering this past weekend that when he took office, black-on-black murder accounted for about 70% of all the murders in New York City. Vastly in excess of their percentage of the population. And he said he thought homicide, murder of whites, accounted for less than 5% in New York. And so this latest murderer's girlfriend, his first victim, was she black? I wonder if she was black. Because his rage, right, his recklessness and his rage, first he killed his girlfriend, then he executed two minority police officers, right? Weren't they minorities? There was a Hispanic and an Asian. You know, murderers are not good problem solvers. And then, as you hear only on Bob and Yurt Live, sadly, because suicide is inherently destabilizing. You only hear that here. You should hear that throughout the conservative community of talk show hosts. Suicide is inherently destabilizing, so we need to oppose decriminalizing suicide, physician-assisted suicide, government-recognized suicide, all that, which National Right to Life, they've supported it, actually. They proposed a law for the federal government to recognize suicide as long as you have a written directive. But because suicide is inherently destabilizing and promoted by the wicked, whether kamikaze pilots or Muslim jihadists, then it's available in a murder-suicide crime by cowards like this latest murderer. And when society does not have a taboo against suicide, then more people find it in their bag of options for how to deal with their anger or their depression or their desire for vengeance. So Brooklyn was set, at least many thousands of residents this week, to remember the birth of the Savior. Now they are mourning the death of those who put their lives on the line to protect whites and blacks, Hispanics and Asians, and everybody else. The New York Times reported the message, the written message from the president of the Sergeants Benevolent Association, who addressed the mayor directly. He wrote, "Mayor de Blasio, the blood of these two officers is clearly on your hands. The police have been circulating a letter allowing officers to request that the mayor not attend their funerals in the event of a line of duty death." And, you know, the mayor says this is not a time for politics or political analysis. And that's rather convenient of him, since these two officers are dead in part because of his inciting violence. A video taken at the hospital where the mayor arrives to speak. He walks past dozens of uniformed New York City police officers, and they all turned their back on him. It was like he was running a gauntlet, and he was going through two lines of officers, all of them facing the walls of the hallway with their backs facing the mayor of New York City. How appropriate. And blissfully unaware of the irony, the mayor's office criticized the policeman, saying it was unfortunate that in a time of great tragedy, some would resort to irresponsible, overheated rhetoric that angers and divides people. Oh, brother. So after Michael Brown was killed, that's exactly what de Blasio and Obama and Eric Holder and the left did. That's exactly what they did with the whole hands up, don't shoot, which was all a lie. The constant implication that Michael Brown, who died in a fit of rage with the cause of death being suicide by cop, their constant implication that his death wasn't his fault, it was the cop's fault, because the cops are racist. Yes, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, but not to Al Sharpton. Black Lives Matter, but not to Barack Obama. Black Lives Matter, but not to Eric Holder. They just don't. They prefer the social chaos over this claim that the problem in the black community is that the police are racist. So at kgov.com/hands up, we have a complete analysis of the current chapter in U.S. race relations. kgov.com/hands up. At our YouTube channel, we've got a video. You want to see the hands up video. Hey, God bless you guys.